You're listening to the SCAC 20th Anniversary Podcast. The Southern Collegiate Athletic Conference is celebrating 20 years of academic and athletic excellence. As a part of the celebration, the conference is taking a look back at the top 20 moments of the past 20 years in each sport. Today we are taking a look back at the top moment in football history, October 27th, 2007. What many have called the most incredible ending to any football game at any level, Trinity University used 15 laterals to go 60 yards and score on the final play of the game to defeat Millsaps College 28-24. The play, dubbed as the Mississippi Miracle, became an instant sensation on YouTube and was recognized by USA Today as a part of the decade-ending countdown of the top 10 web sports sensations since 2000, and was named the Pontiac Game-Changing Performance Play of the 2007 NCAA football season, as well as Time Magazine's number one sports moment of 2007. Trailing 24-22 with 2 seconds remaining in the ball, at his own 40-yard line, Trinity University quarterback Blake Barmore began the play with an innocent 10-yard completion over the middle, and then to Thompson, and began a sequence of laterals to Riley Curry. From there, it went from Curry to Josh Hooten, an offensive lineman, to Michael Tomlin, to Stephen Arnold, another offensive lineman, back to Thompson, to Brandon Maddox, to Curry, to Maddox, to Barmore, to Thompson, to Curry, to Tomlin, to Hooten, to Maddox, to Curry, who rumbled 44 yards for an inexplicable score. Today we are joined by the man who was the last TU Tiger to touch the football, taking it in for the winning score, Riley Curley. And Riley, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Riley, let's reset this for our listeners. 2 seconds left, Trinity down 24-22, ball on the 39-yard line. Tigers well out of field goal range. You know, what was the huddle like heading into that last play?
It was an interesting experience. I mean, it was very, you know, normal. It's pretty standard. We, you know, didn't think we were going to win the game really, but we were willing to give it a shot. And so they called a play that we just used one of our play calls as a normal play of ours, but we obviously decided that we would, you know, run it a little differently. So it was, I don't know how to describe the atmosphere in the huddle. It was just kind of laid back.
As the play begins to develop, Barmore, of course, completes the ball over the middle to Thompson, which ignites the chaos. He then laterals the ball back to you the first of 4 times you would touch the ball on the play. What's going through your mind as that play is developing?
It was kind of funny because in the huddle, Sean Thompson, you know, we knew Sean was going to get the ball at first, and we had no further instructions from anybody. And so Sean kind of looks over me and he says, "Hey, if I catch this ball, I'm going to lateral it to you." So I said, "Okay." And so I made sure I was behind him the first time. And then from then on, you know, it was just like, don't be the guy that gets tackled. Don't be that guy. And it somehow worked out.
How was that play drawn up, Riley? Just, you know, take me through what the coaches and the coaches' staff, words of advice, what were they telling you guys to do? Obviously, don't be the guy that gets tackled, but was there any rhyme or reason to all the laterals?
No, there wasn't. It was, we didn't expect to get the ball back. They had the ball back on the fourth down with 8 seconds left. And their quarterback ran around and went down with 2 seconds left. So that's the only reason we had the ball back in the first place. And after that, we didn't hear much from the coaches. We ran a play that's kind of like, you know, three verts. We ran trips on one side, and the play was really three verts. But like I said, Sean just said, "Hey, make sure you're behind me when I get the ball, I'm going to pitch it back." And so just from an instruction standpoint, not much happened. It just kind of was an organic thing. It just kind of formed as it went.
No flags on a play that lasted over a minute, Riley. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, it did. It did. I don't know. After hearing from a lot of people who watched it, said there really were no penalties on the play. But, you know, who knows if the referees just got caught watching the ball pop up and down. But I was expecting some flags.
So obviously this is developing, Riley. 15 laterals in all, 60-yard play. Was there ever a moment, besides obviously when you finally touched the ball off that epic bounce pass and you saw the end zone in the opening, was there ever a moment when all that was going on that you thought you even had a chance to score?
No way. Not until, you know, I don't even really remember getting the ball for the last time, and I don't remember really what made me just start running forward as fast as I could, because before that we'd just been going side to side, not really making much forward progress. So I don't really remember even why I decided to take off when I did.
So take me back, I guess. Obviously you receive the bounce pass, the ball could have, you know, a football, the shape it is, it could have bounced anywhere, it ends up in your hands, you take off for the opening up the middle. Once you realize you're going to score, just take me through that feeling of knowing that this has happened, that you guys have just won de facto won the SCAC title, and just the chaos that ensues after that.
Well, to be honest with you, when I crossed the goal line, you know, I kind of dove across the goal line. I don't know that I needed to get the ball across, but I was so exhausted, and there was a big dog pile on top of me, and, you know, everybody was going crazy, and everybody, both sides who had been on the field were just completely exhausted. Nobody was wanting to do anything at that moment, but my teammate dog piled on me from the sideline because it happened on our sideline pretty much, and I was just screaming, "Get off of me, I can't breathe." And, you know, it never really kicked in that I had scored, that we'd won, until I was able to get up and kind of catch my breath and then celebrate. So, great.
John Wiener, who called the play, said it was one of the most amazing endings to a college football game ever. Did you ever have any idea that it would become what it was going to become in terms of the national media, from the YouTube sensation to the top 10 play, the Pontiac game-changing play of the year, Time Magazine Sports Play of the Year, an ESPY finalist award winner? Just did you ever envision it becoming as big of an event as it was?
You know, I don't know. After the play happened, my dad was at the game, and my dad left with 2 minutes to go in the game because my little brother had his last high school game that same night. So he left, and we had scored. I had actually scored a touchdown like a minute before to come down by two, then we missed a two-point conversion. And so I called my dad after the game saying, "Hey, Dad, I think we might be on ESPN or something. I heard they might want to, you know, show a highlight or something." And after the game, because we were on the road, we were in Jackson, Mississippi, playing at Millsaps, and we were all at the hotel, the whole team together, and we were told it was going to be, you know, on SportsCenter, and a game was on, it went into overtime, SportsCenter was further and further delayed, and then finally SportsCenter comes on, and we're all waiting to watch it, and they finally run it, and they ran it like 5 times in 10 minutes or something like that. And so then I think I really knew, like, wow, people are really going to know what happened. And the next day, the next Monday, I was sitting in class, and I missed a voicemail from Pat Forty from ESPN.com. He called me and said, "Hey, it's Pat Forty. Call me back when you can." So that's when I kind of knew it was going to be kind of a big deal.
So, unbelievable. Again, we're joined by Riley Curry, Trinity University wide receiver, and the man who scored the game-winning touchdown in the Mississippi Miracle. You know, just talk about, as a guy who plays sports, a sports fan, grow up, everybody, ESPN, everybody watches SportsCenter. What is that like, I mean, when you turn on SportsCenter and they're going through the top 10 plays and there you are, the number one play in the nation during that time?
You know, I think it's different when it's a small town or a small-time college and it's not, you know, LeBron James is used to seeing himself on there. We certainly were not used to that. So it was just something special, you know, something special to know that, you know, we kind of accomplished this thing, everybody kind of accomplished this thing together, and it wasn't necessarily, certainly wasn't just me doing it, certainly wasn't just the 7 guys or the 11 guys on the field at the time, but just this overall kind of attitude of, you know, we're not going to lose, and we're not going to lose this game, and it wasn't necessarily about winning or losing, because who would have thought we would have done 15 laterals and scored. But it certainly is about just competing and wanting to win and wanting to do your best every time. And so that's what's special, to know kind of what the play kind of exemplifies, not necessarily the recognition or the fact that we got to go to the ESPYs or anything like that. It's just really the fact that we can share that kind of attitude as teammates as we were.
So Pat Forty calls, you miss his call in class, you get a voicemail from him. Did you return Pat Forty's voicemail? And if so, what did you guys talk about?
Yeah, I returned his call as soon as I could, and I walked outside of class, and I sat on this bench right outside of the building, and we talked for like 45 minutes, and he's a great guy. He just wanted to talk about, you know, not only football, but just a lot about kind of me and Trinity, and it was a neat conversation. I don't remember what all we talked about, but he ended up writing, I think it was part of his, he has this thing called 40-yard dash that he writes, and I think it ended up being part of his 40-yard dash, which was an honor to be part of that.
So again, you know, of course, Riley, one of the big things that comes out of this, not only, you know, the YouTube sensation part, being on ESPN, on SportsCenter, but then being a finalist for an ESPY Award and the Play of the Year and having the experience. Just talk about the experience of you and your teammates and coaches and you guys heading out to California and being a part of the ESPYs.
The ESPYs were great. It's not really my style. Los Angeles is not really my style. But it was really cool to, you know, sit down with big-time athletes and kind of be, I mean, we certainly stood out like a sore thumb because everybody else was good-looking and huge, and we were, you know, looking like us. But we weren't, you know, it was cool to be kind of a part of that for a little while. Aaron Rodgers actually invited me and some of my teammates to sit down and have breakfast with him. And so, I mean, he's a great guy. We're all big Packer fans now, so we're pulling for those guys in the Super Bowl. But me and Brandon Maddox, we got to go speak at this church while we were down there, speak to some kids, and so it was just a cool opportunity to kind of be in the spotlight for a few days, and then kind of come back to reality. So it was good. It was a good experience.
You mentioned the Aaron Rodgers moment, Riley. What do you remember? What was the moment? I know there had to have been where you were just the biggest awe factor, where you were you just sort of taken back, whether it was someone you met, seeing someone. What was that one moment that when you think back on the ESPYs where you had the biggest sort of awe factor that came across you?
We were sitting at breakfast. They had breakfast. Kellogg's hosted this breakfast on the roof of the hotel we were staying at, the Standard in Los Angeles. And we were sitting there, and you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of elbows me, and he says, "Is that Joe Theismann over there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think so. I don't know." And he says, "Hey, Joe, come over here. I want you to meet some guys." And so Joe Theismann comes over here, and, you know, him and Aaron are kind of going back and forth, whatever, for a little bit. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers introduces us to Joe Theismann. And so that was kind of neat. It's like just one of the boys with Joe Theismann and Aaron Rodgers. So it was cool. I look back on that and really, you know, kind of cherish that moment.
You know, Riley, when I talked to John, again, John Wehner, who called the Mississippi Miracle, one of the things he told me that I thought was interesting was that when I asked him who drove the play when talking to the guys afterwards, he had said that Coach Moore had pretty much given up, that his headset, the sort of the rumor was that he had sort of thrown the headset down, had pretty much given up for naught, and that it was really the quarterback's coach that kind of rallied you guys and called the play and got it in. Any truth to that at all?
Yeah, I might get in trouble for saying this, and I haven't told many people the story, but Coach Moore took off his headset and gave it to me. He handed it to me and said, "Do something with this." And this was when they had the ball on fourth down. I mean, I thought the game was over too, but he said, "Do something with his headset." And so, you know, I kind of take it on the bench. I don't know what to do with it. But then, you know, we realized we get the ball back, and Jason Guthrie is the wide receivers coach, and he's the one that says, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." And he certainly didn't draw the play up. Nobody's going to sit there and draw that play up, but he definitely gave us a sense of purpose and said, "Hey, we're going to try to score. The game's not over. We're going to, you know, we might not score, but we're going to go out there and we're going to do this." And so he definitely had some sense of urgency and some sense of just inspiration there. So it was great to have him on our sideline at that moment.
An incredible moment in your career, no doubt, something you look back on. How many times have you had a chance, or have you gone back and looked and listened to that play on YouTube?
You know, I haven't done it very much. I'll be in a room, and you know, I'll be in a room with some new people and some old friends, and they'll start, you know, giving me a hard time about how I went to the ESPYs, and then other people in the room are like, "Whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean?" And then they all start watching the YouTube video around me on their iPhones and stuff, and it kind of just drives me crazy. But you know, it is neat to, you know, to see myself on TV. I mean, I'll watch ESPN a lot, and so that play comes up every so often, and so it is neat to see myself on TV.
Did you give your dad a hard time for leaving the game early?
No, I didn't. He did not want to leave. He was bummed about it. And so, you know, it was my little brother's last high school game, so I guess I got to give him that.
And finally, Riley, as you, you know, just look back and have had time to sort of think and put the whole experience and play in perspective, what's sort of the lasting memory that you have from that day and that moment in Trinity University football history?
I don't know. It's hard to put it. It's hard to kind of narrow down one moment. After the game, this stands out to me, though. After the game, a little girl came up and asked for my autograph. She had two posters, and she wanted me to sign both of them. But I was so, like, frazzled, I signed the same one twice, and I think she was really mad at me for that. But it just kind of exemplifies that, like, this wasn't normal for us to do. This is something special just happened. So I wasn't really thinking very clearly, but you know, and it's just moments like that, moments where we were on the field after the game for probably an hour, just laughing and hugging each other, our whole team, and you know, that's why I play football, because I love my teammates. Football is a great game, and Trinity is a great school, but you know, my teammates made it all just so much better.
Trinity University wide receiver standout Riley Curry, again, The last Trinity University Tiger to touch the ball and take it in for the game-winning score in the Mississippi Miracle as Trinity defeats Millsaps. Congratulations again, Riley, on being a part of the top moment in SCAC football history, and good luck as you move forward throughout the rest of your career.
Thank you very much.